Would you like to work closer to home, save money on gas, and be rewarded for your hard work and attendance? Then Bellisio Foods is looking for you. That's right, Bellisio Foods is now hiring for multiple positions and shifts with great employee benefits, an on-site health clinic, competitive wages, and advancement opportunities. Bellisio Foods is a company that truly values their employees. Apply online at belisiofoods.com/careers.
At Vinton County National Bank, we believe in supporting the areas where we live and work. Now, we'd like to honor those who also serve our communities. Our new Community Champions account is especially for first responders, veterans, active military, and anyone employed in the fields of healthcare or education. This account offers rewards, discounts, and other benefits to those who give so much to others. Vinton County National Bank, rewarding those who serve.
Everyone, and welcome to the morning show right here on Main Street TV, where we have some wonderful fun guests this morning. And our friends from the OSU Extension Center or office or however you want to say it out there on Standpipe Road. So welcome. We're going to do some fun stuff today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're telling me we're going to do fun stuff. I'm so sad I missed the butter making.
Yeah, we had a really fun time making butter, and it was really good. We had some Hawaiian rolls, and everybody in the office got to try. It was awesome.
Except for Jen.
Well, we've got something to make up for that today.
Okay.
Today, we're actually going to be talking about chocolate. So one of our big after-school programs that we do for our elementary schools and middle schools is talking about chocolate. So we got different types of chocolate here. We've got milk chocolate. We've got 70% cacao chocolate and then 90% cacao chocolate. So breaking into it, just kind of some of the background about chocolate. Chocolate is mainly produced in kind of the warmer climates. So you talk about Costa Rica, Western Africa, those areas that have very high humidity, very high heat, a lot of precipitation.
Is that because that's where the beans grow the best, probably?
Right. So the beans grow actually in a pod. So they grow in a big pod that's in a tree. So they kind of look like bananas in a cluster. They're going to be a big pod in a tree. So those trees take up a lot of that water that's in those climates.
Kind of rainforesty climates.
Right. Yeah. That 80% precipitation or 80% humidity. I don't know about you. I don't want to live in 80%.
No, but I do know in going to Costa Rica that they are known for their coffee. And I would have to think that that is for the same reason. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Costa Rica, and it's I would assume that coffee grows well there as well.
Right. Yeah. And a similar type of concept.
Yeah.
But Western Africa is the biggest producer of our cacao trees.
Who knew?
I don't know if it's the English language, if cacao or cocoa is the same word, but cacao is what they pronounce it there in Africa. So what they do is they get those pods and they take them off the tree by hitting them either with a long pole, with a machete, depending on how high it is in the tree. They take it and then they crack it open. So once they crack it open, they have those beans in there, which they separate the beans. There's kind of like a liquidy. So whenever you think of a coconut. So if you have a coconut and you have that nut inside of it that they pull off, there's also a liquid in there.
Okay.
So that liquid is called cocoa butter, which I'm sure you've heard of cocoa butter.
Yeah. We put that on our skin, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So they take that cocoa butter and they separate that from the seeds or from the beans. And then once they do that, they go ahead and collect them all. And then they start the fermentation process.
Wait, so back up a minute. So cocoa butter is like the coconut milk of like where we get chocolate from?
Kind of, yeah.
How did I not know that all my life? This is so cool.
Yeah, I just learned that too.
So it's also
you live with them. I feel good now.
A little bit of the oil that comes off the beans too. So our cocoa butter is that fat that's inside of it with the beans. So there's some that come off the beans later in the fermentation process that they work on.
Okay.
So from there, from the fermentation process, that takes, you know, a couple of days, couple of weeks, depending on how long they want to set. They dry them out, and then they crack those beans open. So when you crack open the beans, they have inside those, it's kind of like a Russian China doll. You have your pod, you've got your bean, and then inside you have like a chocolate nib. And from that chocolate nib's where they collect it, and they crush them down, and they go through that whole process, and eventually you get chocolate.
Well, okay, so This is like one of those things where, you know, you talk to people and they're like, steaks come from the grocery store. So, and being in agriculture, you understand that. And so here I am. I don't know. Chocolate comes from the grocery store. I never thought anything about it. Mm-hmm. How fun. And what a fun project to do with the kids because, number one, they're eating chocolate.
Yeah.
You give them chocolate. But so there, it's a learning thing. This is so great.
Yeah. So that farm to table aspect, we talk about it all the time in some of our 4-H livestock projects. We talk about it in crop production. But I think a lot of the times kids see their Halloween candy that they get in their buckets or whatever, and they don't realize that this is an agricultural product. And so we like to bring this into the classrooms and share that farm-to-table experience of where does your food really come from and what's in it.
That is so smart.
Yep. So it's a fun little experiment that we get to do with them and kind of teach them a little bit more about what they're eating, the healthy living aspects of it. Our 4-H's, the fourth H is health. So we talk about the health components of our different types of chocolate. And then we get the fun five senses and get to do a little taste test along with it. So,
And you guys brought chocolate and you said that we're going to go through that as well, which will be very, very fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I just never thought about where chocolate comes from.
Yep. So Josh usually gives the kind of background, you know, where does chocolate come from? How is chocolate made? You know, what kind of agricultural product is chocolate? We might pull up a picture for them to see the tree or the pod and kind of break it down for them so they get
Dylan.
That visual. I know, we should have given you guys one. I didn't even think about it. And then
I called a cacao tree.
Cacao tree says COCOA.
Yeah. So, we'll see if he can pull one up. So we'll pull that up for the kids and kind of put it on their whiteboard or whatever it is and, show them, you know, this is where it's at. So here's West Africa, you know, where's West Africa in the world? And then here's the tree and here's the pod and kind of break that down for them so they get that visual. I'm a visual learner.
Yeah.
And so some kids, think the same as me. So they like to see it and really break that down. So then we talk about 4-H, of course, and what is 4-H and how to get involved and all that fun stuff, which we can talk about in a bit. And then I talk about health and healthy living. So we look at the back of our chocolate bars and kind of read the nutrition facts on the back of that chocolate bar. Oh, there's our tree there.
Oh,
so awesome. That's the pod we're talking about. Yeah. That's how they grow, kind of like
how
that.
How big is that? Because it's hard to tell in that picture.
The average size is roughly around the size of a hand, maybe a little bit larger than
that. Oh, it's that big.
Yeah, it's like a coconut. It's a pretty big, like it's,
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's all these different layers within that.
So when you peel, you kind of peel it open like a banana almost. And then it's got these, it's kind of like a white waxy substance with all of these little beans in it. And then you pull those beans off, and then within that bean is, what's it called, a chocolate node or?
The nibs.
Nibs, that's what it's called. And so that's where they pull that chocolate out of. So you don't just roast the whole bean. You actually have to get what's inside the bean to make the chocolate.
And each one of those pods will have roughly 20 to 40 beans in it. So
you're
each
wondering
one has
who's the first person that figured that out?
I don't know. I think about that a lot, but bless them.
I mean, I know, right?
I love chocolate.
You have single-handedly made the world a happier place. Right. Yes. With this. Yeah.
Yeah. So we look, you know, we get from there to our chocolate bar that you would buy in the store.
Okay.
And so today we've got Lint, you know, fancy, nice,
high-quality
chocolate.
Wait, we can hold our pinkies out while we eat that.
But if we have a classroom of kids, we might bring them a good variety. So maybe some little Hershey's and some little Doves, you know, some different types of chocolate to try. And then, of course, good cacao that they can try. So
have you ever had a kid be like, I don't like chocolate?
I know, right? Well, they don't typically, I mean, I don't know. They don't typically like the bitter. They're used to this sweet milk chocolate. But
we
always take a look at the back and we look at our nutrition facts here. And we talk about, you know, saturated fats, you know, total grams of fats, cholesterol, sodium. And we do a compare and contrast on the backs of these chocolate bars to see what the difference is. So something that's kind of interesting that I've kind of pointed out here is we've got our milk chocolate here.
Which is what we all kind of think of as like what we, but probably not as healthy for you, right?
Well, we've got 160 calories here on our milk chocolate. And then here at the very end of our spectrum, we've got a 90% cacao with 200 calories.
So there's more calories. Yeah. And
so we kind of do those comparisons of, you know, what are our saturated fats here? So one, we've got 9 grams of total fat, the other 16 grams. But our sodium levels are a little different. So for our milk chocolate here with less calories, we've got 35 grams of sodium.
Okay.
Whereas with our cacao, 90% cacao with 200 calories, we only have 5 milligrams of sodium.
Oh,
so a big sodium difference.
Huge.
So even though we might just be looking at calories, there are other aspects here that we have to look at when it comes to healthy food choices.
Because you hear, you know, on the news and whatever that mm-hmm. doctors recommend, you know, for your heart health and all that, mm-hmm. some dark chocolate's good, red wine, you know, they say, yeah. and they go hand in hand, let's just be honest. So I just assumed that this mm-hmm. darkest chocolate would be like lower in calories and mm-hmm. lower in everything, but not necessarily.
So it's taking things in stride, right? So some things are good in moderation. So they say that your darker chocolates are better for your heart health, less sodium, less cholesterol. Better for blood pressure, decreases that bad cholesterol, the LDL levels, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about blood clots. We talk about blood flow and all of those things. And so heart-healthy chocolates are probably those better choices for you rather than something with lots of sodium or carbohydrates. So,
okay.
So let me ask you a quick quiz question.
Okay. Quick quiz question.
So what does a 70% mean? So we have a 70% cacao, and then we've also got a 90%. What's that 70% mean?
I would assume that means the amount of the cocoa nibs in it.
Right. So that's going to be our pure cacao that's in our cocoa. So this one has a minimum of 70%. So whenever you talk to kids, I always like to talk and say, you know, what taste do you taste whenever you taste chocolate? And they're usually like, sweet. Well, actually, whenever you have more of the pure chocolate into it, it's going to be more bitter. So it's going to be our more 90%. Mm-hmm. If we look at our 70% dark chocolate, 90% dark chocolate, and we look at our milk chocolate, our milk chocolate won't say on the front, but on the back, like Maddie was saying, it's got 31% mm-hmm. of the chocolate in it. So if you look at the ingredients,
70% other
right,
stuff.
It's going to be 70% other stuff. If you look at the ingredients, this one's going to have sugar, cocoa butter, milk, and then chocolate. Mm-hmm. So all those outnumber the amount of chocolate that's in it. Whereas if you look at the ingredients in our 70%, anything that's above 50%, mm-hmm. your first ingredient is going to be chocolate. It's going to be pure
and so
chocolate.
So something we teach in 4-H to a lot of our livestock kids and our food and nutrition kids is reading food labels.
Okay.
So if you take a livestock project, you have to learn to read your animal's food label. And even
the same as we should read our food labels.
Yep. And even with our food nutrition kids, as they're reading their food labels, those first ingredient listed, that is your main ingredient. So whenever you're reading a food label, that very first ingredient is going to be the ingredient that there's more of in that product. So
which
here,
is why you hear on like the dog food mm-hmm. commercials, like Blue and all of those, where they're like the first ingredient is.
Yeah. X. So here on our 90% and even our 70% here too, our first ingredient is chocolate, and then cocoa butter, cocoa powder, and then sugar. Here with our milk chocolate, our first ingredient is, can you guess?
Sugar?
Sugar. So we've got 24% sugar here in this chocolate
no
bar.
No wonder we like it.
In this chocolate bar, 90%, we've got 4% sugar.
Okay. So
that's a big difference.
Huge difference.
20 less percent. So we talk about that. And then the next ingredient on this one is cocoa butter, milk, and then chocolate. So definitely a big difference in the composition between these two chocolate bars. So we talk about reading food labels and understanding our food and what makes it up, making those healthy food choices.
It's still so interesting to me that there's more calories and and whatnot in the darker chocolate because you would think that it would be better for
you. And sometimes, I mean, calories aren't all that bad, right?
Right,
so these might be good calories in these chocolate bars that are better for your body and provide you more energy.
Okay.
Whereas these calories in this chocolate bar might not be as many good
calories.
They're
coming from sugar, and
yes,
that's not good for you.
So we talk about those healthy food choices at a little lower of a level, you know, for those second, third grade kids, kind of depending on what age group we're working with. But it kind of gets that point across of sometimes making those healthy choices can just be as simple as picking a different chocolate bar on the rack. And so we kind of go through all of that, and then we get to go to our worksheet with our five senses. And so we talk about the five senses, and we can do a little activity. You know, we cover up our eyes and we listen and listen to what, what we hear around us. And then we have to plug our ears and kind of see what's around us. And we feel our desks and kind of feel what's on our desks. And so we go through all of our five senses and we talk about them and what they are and why we need them as humans. And maybe sometimes we might talk about, you know, an animal that has a really great sense. So dogs have a really, really great sense of smell. You know, turkeys, if you didn't know, have a really, really great sense of hearing. They can hear like every little thing. And so if you're
that would get
hunting,
annoying.
If you're turkey hunting, you have to be really quiet because they hear everything, but they're not very good at seeing. So we talk about our five senses and then how that also might help us make choices about the food that we eat. So Josh, you want to talk a little bit about your worksheet?
Yeah, so we've got a worksheet here that we usually hand out for the kids. Kind of just to make them start thinking about using their senses. So the first one that we use is we're talking about sight. Whenever we look at chocolate, from the scale, we're looking at lower being zero, looking at the 10 being good quality chocolate. Our lower quality is going to have kind of bubbles in the chocolate. So you're going to see like little bubbles on the side, or you're going to see some discoloration, that being any type of white, gray in the chocolate, seeing those impurities in those chocolates.
Okay.
And then from there, we go and talk about the smell. So we'll make them smell it and whether the chocolate has an earthy smell, usually being more bitter, more earth type smells, whether it's being sweet, like our milk chocolate, whether it being fruity, some chocolates infused with fruit. So trying to be able to establish those citrus smells, depending on the chocolate, or if they smell something else, just giving them that option of what do you actually smell? Do you smell a specific smell in there? Okay.
I feel like we could do this with beer, too, but probably not with second and third graders.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And then we move.
Okay, kids, today.
And then we move on to our third one, which is sound. So sound's going to be how loud it is whenever you take a bite into it. So if you bite into it and it's just a low sound, like a little clunk, or if you break it and it's just a little clunk, it's kind of going to be on the lower end of the quality. Whereas if you bite into it, it's a crisp snap, kind of like you're biting into an apple, that crisp snap. That's going to be more of a higher quality chocolate.
Gotcha.
Looking at texture, we talk about now this is where they start to take a bite. They've got it in their mouth. And how fast does it melt in your mouth? Does it melt really quick? Does it not melt? Following that along on that spectrum. Then also taste. So taste is always subjective. Some people like more sweet. Some people like a bitter taste, but then them ranking it on where they usually say it on a sweet scale.
Gotcha.
And then at the end, we just have them do an overall grade because a lot of these kids, a lot of them only really had milk chocolate. So once you expose them to our dark chocolate, sometimes they like it more. Mm-hmm. So I know when I was growing up, I usually always ate milk chocolate. It's all I ate. Then I got introduced to dark chocolate and I loved it.
Really? Even as a kid?
Even as a kid, yeah. I kind of just grew into it and I just enjoyed eating dark chocolate more.
Awesome.
So then that kind of introduces the conversation about our taste buds.
Okay.
How all of our taste buds are different and how I really love sour candy. I love sour candy. And so Josh really
likes...
This is
such a beer conversation, yes. Too. I mean, literally, these two go so hand in hand, strangely
And
enough.
So Josh loves sweet things. And so I like sour candy. He likes sweet things. And so that we talk about our taste buds and how everybody is kind of different, and that's okay. And so some people like different foods. Some people like spicy things.
Yeah.
Some people don't. I don't like spicy things. And so we kind of talk about that and how everybody has different preferences.
Sure.
And so when you go into a grocery store, there are hundreds of different chocolate bars that you can choose from. Mm-hmm. And so on Halloween, you get your little candy bucket full of all different types of candy because everybody can have their preference nowadays, you know, in our grocery stores. And
that's true.
Let's go ahead and try our chocolate. So we're going to start with milk chocolate, right?
Yep.
So I've got milk chocolate here. We're going to unwrap it for you, and then I'll let you break off a piece.
Okay.
Try it.
I should have brought my strips in to see if you guys are super tasters. Have you done that?
Oh, no, I haven't done that. I remember you talking about it one time.
I would say I'm not because I can't tell the difference between Coke and Pepsi. They all taste the same to me. RC, Coke, Pepsi, all the same.
It looks like there's like one broken already.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
You can just have that.
Okay.
So the first thing we're going to do as we make the kids wait, we teach them patience. So the first thing they're going to do is they're going to look at the chocolate. So they take it and they look at the chocolate.
Okay.
So tell me if you see anything in here. That's a big old piece right
I know.
It was kind of
so you're looking
broken.
At the side. You see any bubbles into it?
So they're going to look
I definitely do.
Yeah, there's a little bit of bubbles in here.
And then
I wish we could show it to you guys.
It's really tiny to see.
Yeah.
And then you see those little white specks.
Yes.
So those are going to be your impurities. They're not bad, but there are some impurities in there.
Right.
If you look at it, you can kind of see it still being glossy, because glossy is kind of what we want. We want it really glossy. But if you look at it, get the light on at the right angle, you can see the oil on the top.
So you can see your fingerprint?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
So on this scale, what would you rate it as? Because, all, like I said, it's all subjective. You know, the more you know about it, the more you can probably pinpoint and argue it. But where would you put it on the site scale from 0 to 10? 0 being very low quality, 10 being super high quality.
I mean, I would think, and I haven't seen the other pieces of chocolate, so I guess, you know, we could compare those all at one time. But I would think, because there are quite a few, like, variations of color and stuff like that. So I don't know. I'd go with like 5.
5? Yeah, I would agree with that. So I would personally put it as 6. So 5 and 6.
Okay.
Maddie, what would you put it in?
I think a 6. Yeah. 6.
Okay.
I think it's.
Well, I'm being mean, so.
Yeah. So I'm gonna mark a little X on my little 6 here. So we just have them kind of mark and collect data. Oh, I dropped my chocolate bar on here. And so we also talk about the importance of scientists and collecting data and in food production.
Yeah.
And you know how it's important to collect that feedback. Because what happens if we make a chocolate bar that's really, really nasty? Are people going to buy it?
Well, no.
Probably not, right? So we talk about how it's important that we look at our feedback and what we think so we can make our food better so everybody enjoys it.
Okay.
So now the next step, we're still not eating it yet. We're still teaching patience, talking about our smelling it. So you're going to take it up.
They're
you're just
mean.
Smell it. It's discipline. We got to discipline them.
Okay.
So give it a good sniff. It smells good. Smells like
it
chocolate.
It does smell good.
Yeah. I feel like I don't get like a super overwhelming chocolate, you know? I feel like it's just a...
I almost get, well, I definitely get the sweet, but I can see where you could almost say it's fruity as well.
Fruity? What type of fruit smell do you smell? Citrusy?
Ooh. Mm-mm.
Like a raspberry.
Yeah.
Raspberry? Yeah.
Like a berry kind of thing.
Berry, yeah.
So that's where you can put 2 marks on this one. You can put sweet and fruity.
Okay.
And now we get to the step where we talk about sound. So like I said, most people will say, well, how are we going to hear chocolate? Well, you just take it, you break it. I don't know if you could hear that.
Okay. But are you ready? Oh, that was pathetic.
It wasn't very loud, was it?
No.
So then they go ahead and they can put it in their mouth, and then they can bite it, and they can bite it to hear the sound as well.
Okay. So, oh.
Now, did it make a big sound whenever you bit into it?
No.
Not really.
Not really.
So that's going to be like kind of our low quality. Now, the other thing that comes with sound and kind of with texture too is talking as whether it crumbled when you bit into it. So when you bit into it, did it break into 2 even pieces or did you have any crumbs that came off?
I feel like it kind of like...
Yeah, it just falls apart.
Yeah.
Okay. So on that scale, 0 being low sound and crumbles, 10 being crispy, holds together pretty well. Where would you put it at?
So 0 is low sound, and then on up,
I'd give it
I would say like 3 or 4, probably.
I was going to give it a 2.
Okay.
I'll go solid 3. Solid 3.
Okay.
All right. So last couple things we're going to do is we're going to talk about texture. So we want to make sure that they didn't eat the whole thing. So now they put in the other piece to feel how fast it melts in their mouth.
Like super fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It almost instantly starts melting.
Mm-hmm. Like it just dissolves.
Yep. So 0 being not melting, 10 being melts really easy.
I'm going to go with an 8.
8. That's a good one.
Yep.
And now we're talking about taste. So I want to sit back. What do you taste? Does it taste really sweet, bitter? Do you taste that fruit that you smelled?
Not as much as the smell.
Not as much smell.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's super sweet.
Super sweet?
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, 8.
8.
I'm going with an 8.
Perfect. So in our last one that we usually do with the kids, is just this one's for fun. What would you overall grade this? If you were to buy it again, you were going to tell people 1 out of 10, what was your overall opinion on this chocolate? What would you put it as?
6.
6?
6 out of 10.
See, mine personally, I would probably put this at an 8, but I kind of like sweet things as well.
Yeah, I think it's good. I like it. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
So now you can flip over, and we got the same form on the back.
And again, you're ahead. Like, am I making s'mores out of this and want it to be cheesy, or am I like looking for? Mm-hmm. It depends, I think, on what you're.
Yeah, that would
right. What
be a
you're
good
looking
s'more
for.
Chocolate.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That would be a good s'more chocolate.
Hey, Dylan, would you go get some paper towels?
Yeah, it melts in your fingers.
It does. Yeah. Like I've got like
a wet wipe. Yeah, or
go
something.
Ahead and break off a yeah, piece something. For you.
Yeah. Well, here, get you another piece of.
Okay.
I don't want to touch all your chocolate.
Oh, it's all right. Oh.
It's a big old
well.
Piece.
Oh, yeah, they are big pieces, aren't they?
Well, they're little pieces, but they don't break. Oh, those
no, they're big pieces.
Yeah, they're oh. big pieces.
I'm like, I was thinking I was just. Oh, thank you, Dylan.
Bring that one in, too.
Much appreciated. That way we don't have it all over us.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to do the same thing. So we got our dark chocolate right here.
Okay.
So first off, you can obviously tell there's a big color difference.
Yeah.
Looking at the really light browns,
oh,
now
wait.
We're looking at a real dark
I have to flip
dark
my sheet
brown.
Over.
So we see the color difference.
Okay.
Now
yes.
Let's go ahead and start looking for any of the impurities in it. Do we see any white in it? Do we see any bubbles in it?
Maybe just like a teeny bit.
Yeah, just
a little. I see a couple bubbles in mine. Not a whole
barely.
Lot.
Barely. And I see that like kind of the fingerprint situation.
Like a tiny
yep.
little white
yeah.
right there.
Yep. Yep. Same.
Yep.
Like corner. My corner here is
mm-hmm.
white.
So what would we rank this one as for our site?
What do we rank the last one as?
6.
6.
Oh, I would do much better than.
So probably like an 8?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay. And this is what we like to do with our kids. Today we're not going to be able to show the difference, but usually we have, like we said, we have two Hershey's. We have a light chocolate or milk chocolate and a dark chocolate
dark
Hershey's.
One, yeah.
And we have a milk chocolate and a dark chocolate over Dove. So we get to see two different brands.
Oh, okay.
And how they compare to each other. With today, we have all Lindt chocolate, so there's not going to be too much difference in the
sure.
quality makeup. So smelling it,
okay.
What do we smell?
I definitely smell fruit.
You smell,
smell fruit?
I get an earthy smell.
Yeah, I think it's more earthy.
I get an earthy smell.
Maybe my nose is just off.
Yeah, I get an earthy smell from that.
Earth.
Which is going to be more common with our
for sure.
darker chocolate.
Yeah. But I don't think it smells as sweet. I
yeah.
definitely get
it's not
earthy.
As sweet.
All right, now we're back to sound.
Okay, wait. I'm going to... All right, ready? Oh, way better.
A lot louder,
yeah.
right?
That one was loud, I feel
so
like.
So with sound, too, before we do it, make sure we go ahead and bite it with our...
Oh, God. Don't bite it with your front teeth.
So it was a pretty loud crisp.
Yeah.
Did it fall apart any? Did it break into just two pieces? Have any crumble in it?
Not at all like the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it was a good two pieces.
Yeah.
So where would we rank that one at?
I'm going to go with 8.
8? So texture, I'm going to do it again, pick up your other little piece and just see how long it takes to melt in your mouth.
Oh, God.
It's so snappy. A lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
Mine still hasn't even started melting
no.
yet, has it?
Mm-mm. Like you got to bite into it to get out to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So melting, it's going to be on our lower end. What'd you put it as?
Mm-hmm. 2.
And then sweetness, is it any sweet?
No. Well,
it's not bad, right?
No.
It's not terrible.
It's not,
it's not like it doesn't make my eyes water,
mm-hmm.
but there's definitely more bitter in it.
Yum.
Yum.
I'd say like a 4.
Yeah, that's what I was
a good number.
Say too.
Yeah.
Say this is a bitter where I like it. It's not too bad. Personally, I'm going to give this one overall of 9 because I like
oh.
I like the sweetness on it. Or the bitterness
it.
In it.
Like a 7. It's not my favorite.
Yeah. What do we do? The 6?
Yeah. The 6. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Now we got to open up.
Okay.
90%.
This is 90%. Oh my gosh.
Go ahead and take that and slide it over.
Is this going to make our eyes water?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever had a 90%.
I don't know that I have either. Don't make s'mores with this, kids.
Oh, wow. Look at that. So already.
It's like black.
Yeah, already you can see the difference in.
Oh, my.
The cocoa.
So you got the camera right there, Maddie, if you want to point it at the camera.
Oh. There's no way to get the one. I don't know if you can see this, but it's like.
It's very dark, yeah.
Really so dark.
Can see
well, and I don't know if you can see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, yeah. That's.
And then here, this is the darkest, and that's the milk.
There's.
So, yeah, you
difference.
Can definitely mm-hmm. see how dark this one is.
So first thing we're going to do again is make sure we crack it just a little bit just to see if you see any impurities, any bubbles into it.
Mm-mm.
I don't see any color changes.
I see like a singular bubble, bubble.
I'd knock it down just a little bit just because there's a little tiny bubbles, but not many. There's no color difference.
I don't see. Of course, I can't see because I'm old.
Yeah, I only see one bubble in mine.
I don't see anything.
It's pretty glossy on the top.
Yeah, it's very mm-hmm. glossy.
Personally, since we've already did our front and back, I'd give that one a 9.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. For sure.
So we move on to smell. Smell it.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Yeah, this one is definitely different.
It's kind of like a lighter smell, isn't it? Can't really get a whole lot out of it.
Okay, so that is true. Like, I'm at the middle one here. Smells way more than this one
right.
does.
Yeah, this one doesn't have much of a smell.
But still more earthy.
Yeah, this one I would put as earthy.
All right, are we ready for our sound?
All right. Definitely.
About the same as the other one, right?
Yeah.
So about the same, putting it back at an 8 scale. Now let's see how long this one takes for it to melt in our mouth.
Okay, so now we're going to eat this sucker. Whew, is it going to be bitter? It's not melting.
Mm-mm.
This one's not too bad.
It's melting a little bit now.
Yeah. It's melting really slow. So
No, I don't like it.
What don't you like about it?
Number one, it tastes like wax. And it's so dry. Like, it makes my mouth dry.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
Where do you taste it at? Do you taste it on the side of your tongue, the front of your tongue?
Back.
Back tongue?
Oh, I don't like it at all.
Well, this is the healthiest kind for you.
Yeah. That's why I don't like it. No, it tastes like nothing. And then at the very end, it makes my tongue dry. And then it is really bitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is going to be our top scale. So this is one where we can work it up. We have our 33%.
God. So
we have our
bad.
75% that still has some sweetness in it, and then we get all the way up to 90, and this really shows the difference in how the cocoa.
Why
cocoa
would
butter.
Anyone pay good money for that?
So it really shows how bitter chocolate really is. It's mm-hmm. just the chocolate we get is not pure chocolate. It's filled with sugar. It's filled with milk.
Why does it make my mouth so dry?
Are you the same? I need like a glass of water.
Oh, I could eat that whole bar. I like it.
Really?
Oh yeah.
You're weird.
Yeah. I know.
So,
no, some oh no!
Now
I did
you
not.
Need another piece of milk chocolate to kind of cleanse the palate. I
yeah.
think. Do you got one?
Yep, I do. So, it is interesting though how different they all are.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that I was really gonna like that, and I really don't.
Yeah.
The middle one is not that bad.
I like the middle one's my favorite.
Yeah.
So one thing that we always like to talk about afterwards, just kind of talking about the chocolate, the making process. Is how did they get that fruit smell into it? Well, mm-hmm. they can incorporate it by either one, mixing in straight fruit in any type of oils, roasting it with any type of fruit, getting that earthy smell. A lot of this dark chocolate is roasted, so getting that longer roast mm-hmm. time to get it more of that dry taste mm-hmm. in our mouth. Talking about how that and all different types of combinations they can make just to make chocolate taste different, because mm-hmm. all this is chocolate, it all tastes completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we talk about chocolate bars that have like those are my favorite, the kind with caramel inside mm-hmm, them. Mm-hmm. Oh, those are my favorite chocolate bars. But sometimes those chocolate bars can be at a lower quality, because they have to infuse it with different things and make it a little bit more stable so it stays on the shelf.
Sure.
So we give them kind of all that information. Yep.
Yeah. That makes total sense.
So now they have a written report of what chocolate they liked, why they liked it, and then they can go to the store and say, hey, I like dark chocolate better instead of getting this milk chocolate. I want this dark chocolate, and it's healthier for them. Or they just may like milk chocolate. Maybe they just keep like going to Halloween, getting all the milk chocolate they can.
Yeah. And I mean, again, let's just be honest. Our, as you said, our taste buds do evolve over time. Mm-hmm. You know, I get a lot of kids that are like, I don't like vegetables as we grow up. I feel like, except for Dylan, who will not eat a vegetable.
I still can't. They're just disgusting to me. I just can't do it. It, it don't work. I feel sick.
He will not eat a vegetable.
Oh, do you like garlic?
No.
Please, that's hopeless.
I'm very plain. I just want like meat and
not
cheese.
Not a single vegetable. Like not a carrot.
You'll eat a potato, right?
I'd be potatoes, yeah.
Oh my goodness. See, vegetables I feel like are my favorite thing.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite part of the meal. I see how that's
possible.
Like a side? I'm a side girly.
Yeah.
I like sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like burgers.
Well, we can have a show about how those come to your table as well. Yeah. But but no, it's he's not. But it's funny how our taste buds do evolve. Like I know, you know, I don't like tomatoes, and all of a sudden it's like, well, ketchup's okay. And then the next thing I know, I can eat tomatoes like all the time. Like I love tomatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can remember being a kid and being like, ooh, I don't really like this.
So oftentimes when we bring activities like this into the schools, maybe in September around Apple Festival time, I'll come in and we'll do apples.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Do apple tasting with the kids. And so we'll bring in different varieties of apples, you know, red apple, yellow apple, green apple. And half the time we do a survey and we talk about collecting data and being scientists and all of that and how that's important. And so with the apples, a lot of the kids have never even tried a yellow apple or a green apple. I have really found that a lot of them just think that they like red apples because that's the only apple they've ever had.
Yeah.
And so we cut them up and they each get to try each different apple. And then by the end of the activity, a lot of them, their favorite apple is yellow or green.
Yeah.
And so we talk about that too, kind of the same concept of, you know, what's the differences, you know, what within sight, you know, the different colors, but also, sometimes I find that yellow apples are a little more soft.
Soft. Yeah.
And
different
we talk,
textures.
Yeah. We talk about, what happens when they turn brown, when you cut an apple with the oxygen and everything. And we talk about smell, you know, do they smell different? When you bite into them, do they sound different? Are they different textures? Do they taste different? Yellow apple or green apples can be very sour and crisp. I feel
for sure.
And so we kind of do the same thing in September with the apples. So maybe around that time we can bring our apples.
Yeah,
in
that would be great and fun.
But I always talk to the kids about 4-H when I visit classrooms and with activities like this, specifically our food nutrition project. So if they were excited or found a passion when reading this food label, or kind of talking about some of these different things in food or learning about how our food comes to our tables.
Yeah.
I talk to them about food nutrition projects and how they can join 4-H and be a part of our programs.
So. Which is so good because, again, and this is what is so wonderful about 4-H is you don't have to live on a farm to be in 4-H. Like, and I think that is more so today than it ever has been, but it was always kind of a misconception that, you know, you have to take a cow to the fair. Yes. Like, no, there's all kinds of different projects.
We have over 200 4-H projects in 4-H. And I don't think that there are 200 different farm animals. So,
No. Yeah.
So, anything that you can think of, we have in 4-H that your child can explore. So we have a plethora of food nutrition projects that lead kids through activities just like this, and have them look at food labels and farm-to-table aspects of where food comes from, the food pyramid or My Plate is what we have now.
Okay.
And so looking at portions and what, you know, should we be eating a lot of chocolate or should we be eating a lot of protein or should we be eating a lot of carbohydrates or sodium or, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. So
everything in moderation. Here's the deal, kids. If it tastes good, it's bad for you. No, I'm just kidding.
So
just kidding.
We always talk about 4-H and getting involved, and I usually pass out a flyer. So I brought a flyer with me today.
Okay.
To promote 4-H and just talk about it a little bit. So if you're interested in getting your kid involved in 4-H programs and doing stuff like this, you can enroll in 4-H by April 1st. And join a club. If you have questions about how to get involved or what club to join, you can call me or email me at the office, and I can get you connected with somebody. Usually what I do in the classrooms is I say, does anybody know what 4-H is? And usually kids raise their hand and they're like, oh, I'm in 4-H. I'm in 4-H.
Yeah.
And so I always tell the other kids in the room to go and talk to that kid that says they're in 4-H.
Yeah.
And ask them what club they're in and how you can get involved. And so that's usually a really fun way to keep those kids connected to the program. So,
well, and I think, you know, and I've blabbed about this so much here on the show, but I literally cannot stress how awesome 4-H is. Like, it is, I mean, there are so many aspects of it that are good. I can't think of one bad thing. Mm-hmm. It's all good. And from, you know, the camaraderie, from the learning to fail and mm-hmm. succeed, and friends you make, mm-hmm. and of course the knowledge that you gain,
yes.
the responsibility that you gain. I mean, all of this stuff is just shapes you into a great adult.
Yes, absolutely. So like I said, I wanted to plug 4-H and getting involved. And I also brought a flyer today for my 4-H open house. Which is happening in March.
And you killed it last year.
It was awesome. So there's our flyer up on the screen. Last year we had our first spring project fair and open house. And yeah, we killed it. We had probably 300 people walk through the doors.
I couldn't believe when you told me. I was like, what?
And you know what? Friends, I would love to double that. I want 600 people to walk through my doors this year. Let's do it. It was a really great event, and I think anybody that you can talk to about it loved it. We, of course, had animals there that the kids could interact
with.
Yes. But we also set up stations all around the 4-H building at the fairgrounds of every project that you can take. And so we had every project book there that the kids could physically look through. We had teens and kids and adults there to walk kids through their 4-H experience and answer questions. We had snow cones and popcorn and prizes.
I mean, hello. Nothing bad about any of that.
It was really awesome. And so we're going to do that again this year and make it better. And so I'm really excited. Thanks to the Jackson County Community Fund. They were able to sponsor that event again for us this year.
That's awesome.
And so we're really excited to have some cool prizes this year and offer just a really great experience for folks. So if you're thinking about 4-H or just generally want more information, come to the open house. We'll have people there to talk to you. We'll have clubs there that are seeking new members. So come out and just kind of have a fun day. My brother and his wife, they bring their two kids, and they're not even quite old enough yet to be clover butts, which is our youngest kiddos in 4-H.
Yeah.
But they still come out just to see everything and have fun and pet the animals and get a snow cone. So I really encourage you guys to come out and visit the open house. It's definitely one of our biggest events of the year, and just kind of come out and see what 4-H is about. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're, you know, I can remember when I first joined 4-H being like intimidated mm-hmm. almost because, you know, you're a little kid. And we didn't have clover buds back then.
Yeah.
You know, this was a few years ago. You know, but at 9, you know, you're like, oh, I don't know anyone and whatever. But that quickly changed.
Yes.
And
yeah. Yep.
Then, you know, here I am at like 19, still in 4-H. They had to kick me out finally because I didn't want to leave because it was a great time.
And I've said this before and I'll say it again. The Jackson County 4-H program has the opportunity to be one of the best programs in the state. Mm-hmm. We really do. And we have so much room for growth and opportunity. We have some clubs that really could use some new members, and we have so much room to expand and grow and add in new kids and new programs. So we are not overcrowded in the slightest in our program.
Which
so
is wonderful.
If you're interested in joining or getting your kiddo involved again, come to the open house, reach out to me. We usually put our contact information up at the end. My email is almond.68@osu.edu, or you can call the extension office and we'll get you connected. But I'll let Josh talk about some of the stuff that he's got going on too, because he's got some really neat stuff coming up as well.
Yeah, and just one more thing. I will say, you have the chance to experience things that you would never have the chance to experience otherwise. And I think that's really cool.
Yes, yeah. Too. So Josh has got some really neat stuff coming up too. And I always love to plug Josh. Because we haven't had an ag agent in so long.
We have not.
And so I really, really, really love bringing Josh in on 4-H programs. But Josh is not he's not just 4-H. Josh does so much more than 4-H, with our youth livestock programs and stuff. So last night he put on a really great session for our families interested in taking carcass animals to the fair.
Okay.
And just has some really awesome programs coming up to offer to our community. And so I really want to give him the space to showcase what he's got going on and what he brings to our community, because it's
absolutely
really great stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so some things that we have upcoming for our program. Like we said, Jackson County hasn't really seen too many adult education programs through agriculture. So our Farmers Club is going to be the second Monday of February. I think that's February 19th. We have local agriculture lending. It's going to be a panel discussion with OVB. It's going to have Vinton County National Bank. It's going to have Atomic Credit there. We've got some representatives from each location coming, and they're going to do a panel discussion. So if you have any questions about agricultural lending or lending in general, the Farmers Club is open to anybody in Jackson County. So you don't even have to be a farmer to participate in this program. It's free. We do have a meal at 6:30. We do $5 just to cover the cost of that. If you don't want the meal, you can come at 7, and 7's the start of the program. And the program's completely free. So we have the Jackson County Farmers Club sponsoring that, and those local banks coming for that.
And that will be where and when again?
That's going to be at the Jackson County Extension Office right off Standpipe. Yeah. That's going to be on February 19th.
Okay.
So we'll also post that on our Facebook page. If you're not following our Facebook page, I think it's Jackson County OSU Extension. You can follow that and you'll be able to see all our updates. But we also have a Weeds University. So if you're interested in agronomic weeds, seeing the new trends that are happening through that, it's going to be a statewide program. We're hosting a location here in Jackson County where participants can come and see kind of what the updates are on weeds. We have a new weed called water hemp that's kind of taking over the state.
Wait, stop, back up. What?
So this is agronomic weeds. So any weeds that's in the fields whenever we're getting ready to plant.
So are you talking about weeds that are bad or good?
Bad.
Bad. Okay.
Bad weeds that we want to get rid of. So
okay, and I would have to assume that there's new stuff coming all the time, which is why you're having this program, and then how to get rid of them or to
right. So that's what this one will be covering. Okay. Covering the weed called water hemp, telling you the herbicide treatments that you can use to prevent it, and also scouting to look for it. So also looking at, we have
water hemp.
Yep.
Is there anything good about water hemp?
Nothing good as we know of. Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know what? If we want to make a fortune, we should come up with something to do with water.
Yeah.
I'll let you think about that.
Okay.
But I think the Weeds University class will be really good because there are so many plants that grow in fields and things like that that livestock or horses and stuff cannot eat. It's poisonous. So that class kind of covers some of those basics on how to rid your fields of things like that to keep your livestock safe.
And I think it's funny, you know, if you look at your horse field, for example, because horses are a little prissier than other livestock. But, you know, you're looking out there, you're like, look at all this beautiful grass. Why are they in this spot? And it's bald and they haven't eaten any of this stuff. Well, they're telling you something.
Yeah.
Your field sucks. Or this is just way yummier than this, but you'd think they would just eat it all evenly, and they do not.
Right.
At all.
And then we also have a cow-calf school that's going on in Gallia County, actually, so just right across the border there in Bidwell.
Okay.
That's a program that you can reach out to the Gallia County Ag and Natural Resource Educator. I'll be there as well, but kind of looking at a cow-calf operation, kind of some ways you can improve profits on that type of operation. We also have a hunter's education course coming to the extension office. It's going to be completely free. We did this for the first time in the fall, and we had over 50 kids and participants show up, so it was really awesome.
Wow.
So they go, and they walk away with their hunter safety card. For that program, it's going to be March 9th. There's a Facebook group out there going along to sign up for it, but it's going to be March 9th. That's a Saturday. It's there at the extension office from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Awesome.
So they'll get their card for that. And then the last thing I have is a Quickens workshop in March. So if anybody's familiar with the Quickens software, but it's an accounting software to keep up to date. We're going to be hosting that in Jackson County. We're going to be able to have a whole workshop where we'll have computers for participants to be a part of. So that does have a cost of, I think it's $65, but that provides two people from the same family. So whether you live on a farm, it's going to be geared more towards a farm family, focusing on personal and farm finances, how to keep that. But I'm sure it's probably going to be you can translate it to any type of family operation. So we're going to have that there at the extension office as well.
So lots of good stuff coming.
I'd say so.
Yeah. And if you've...
Do you guys sleep?
No.
No.
No. With the grad school and everything we do, no.
Yeah, no.
It's all right. You can sleep later.
Wait, but yeah. So you two are in college still?
Yeah.
We graduated with our undergraduate. Now we're in graduate up at Ohio State.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sorry. Now I feel a little less alone. I'm also still in college.
Yeah.
Yep. It's grad a struggle. Students.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. I just finished a paper on a drive up here. I just did the voice chat thing. I was just like writing the paper with my voice and driving.
I need to learn to do that.
I need to do that.
Yeah. And then I used the Pages app and just airdropped it to my Mac and then edited a little bit and sent it in.
I love that.
See, I'm concerned with that because I don't think it'll understand me. I start talking too fast and I get going real quick and it won't understand what I say and it just won't.
Well, I'm just going to tell you, when I was in college, that didn't exist. So
it's a nice thing, Jen.
I love that.
Yeah, you also have that chat GP whatever that you can cheat.
No, I don't do that.
Okay.
But yeah, so between grad school and everything like that, we're a little busy, but we love offering some of these programs to our
community. It's wonderful.
And, between reaching youth in schools and then out of school and reaching families, a lot of our farmers aren't full-time farmers.
Mm-hmm.
They work full-time jobs and then farm after hours.
Yes.
And so figuring out when to best reach them. So we want to do that. Josh has put out a needs assessment for the community to respond to him is like, what are the needs? What do you guys want to see from Extension? What kind of programs do you want from us? We're open to hearing from you. And so we're hoping that bringing some of these programs to the community is what the community wants and needs. And we just hope that they support us back. So,
well, no, and I think it's just adding this whole new layer of excitement and education to our community that already, you know, knows quite a bit, but there's always more to learn, and there's also things to keep up with. And like the weed thing, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How to not let something take over your property.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are some of the, because weren't there like weeds that people used to use as like natural fences, but now they've just kind of like over and stuff like that?
I don't know anything specific. I know a lot of our farms, they work with a farm service agency, do some of their EQIP programs where they kind of have that border, whether it's a fence, working through those programs. I'm not for sure on that. I'd have to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense to have a natural border if you can, but it also makes sense that it would completely take over as well if you didn't control it. So,
Yeah.
I get it. Something with some spikies in it so the livestock doesn't go through it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But, well, cool. This has been so fun, you guys. And now I know what kind of chocolate I like the best.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. Yeah, thank you. Next time we come on, we'll have to bring another tasty treat. It's two months in a row we've brought something tasty to eat. So
yeah, well, and I'm really sad I missed the butter thing. So so while you're here and we have a couple of minutes left, you brought in something to make butter. So can you go through that process with me just because I wasn't here?
Yeah. So we brought in just the little, what are they, like pint or quart?
Mason jars.
Yeah. So the little tiny ones, and you just get heavy whipping cream. That's all you need. A little jar and heavy whipping cream. You fill the jar up about halfway and then you shake. We probably shook.
It's like a workout too.
Yes. Yeah. So we shook for probably 10 to 15 minutes. And then your butter kind of starts to form. So you see it kind of turning into this whippy, kind of creamy, what I like to call Texas Roadhouse butter.
Okay. That
whipped cream kind of butter. But if you keep shaking, it'll start to turn to that yellow, harder butter consistency. Gotcha. That we know of. And so we had some sweet Hawaiian rolls and some seasonings. When we were able to season our butter to the flavor liking, and then we had our dinner rolls with the butter. So,
but you need to make sure that you eat your Wheaties beforehand, because it's a lot of shaking.
It is a lot of shaking,
and by that time you're tired. It's like having that shake weight where you're shaking the whole time.
So whenever we do that activity in the schools, we usually have kids and partners and have them trade off.
So
they can shake their jars together, and we play shake, shake, shake. Shake, shake, shake.
And they're really excited for the first 5 to 10 minutes. And then they bring it up to you. He's like, is it done? Is it done yet?
I'm so over this.
Nope, keep shaking. Keep going.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
But we talk about where butter comes from. Again, that farm to table aspect of where our food comes from and how it's made and what goes into it. And then they get to have that tasty treat at the end of all of their hard work. So
there is a, big, so my dad grew up on a dairy farm, which is where you all are now. Mm-hmm. And Carmen's is now.
Oh yeah.
And so all that was my whole family's, of that. Yeah. Was our family's, farm way back when. And, he always talked about, and I obviously wasn't around back then, of how milk then is so different than it is now. Mm-hmm. So obviously it's pasteurized. There's all kind of stuff that goes into it. And my Uncle Lewis was actually the milkman, and he, went around and delivered the milk and all that. But you can't do that in today's world because, I'm sure it's just a safety thing, whatever. But so if you would get milk straight out from a cow, is that what you would shake to make butter?
No. So you would have to let it settle. So it's going to settle and your milk's going to hit from the top. That fatty whipping cream is going to come to the top. You're going to skim off that top, and that's your heavy whipping cream. So that's
okay.
Gonna be it. What is butter? Butter is essentially just fat. So whenever we're shaking that.
Is that why it tastes so good?
Yeah, that's exactly why it tastes so
good. I could just eat a tub of butter. I'm so weird.
If you haven't learned anything today, anything that tastes good is probably not good for you.
Yeah, we've said that a couple of times, haven't we?
But whenever you shake it, so whenever you're shaking that heavy whipping cream, what you're doing is you're pulling that fat, that butter, apart from the actual buttermilk. So whenever you shake it, you'll have two things in the bottle. You have your buttermilk, which is just going to be that liquidy water milk type, and you're going to have your actual butter in it. So it's going to separate into two different things, which we like to always talk about the kids, that physical change is changing from a liquid to a solid. And if you leave it there and just let it sit in the fridge, it's going to revert eventually back into a liquid.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, and that's what I was going to ask you. If you make your own butter, how long does it last? Or does it just...
I mean, it's raw butter, so it doesn't really have any preservatives in it or anything like that. So
which probably, is not all that bad.
Yeah, I don't know, probably a few days
at most.
And then, but we usually just get it eaten.
I know,
quick.
I could eat the whole jar.
And when you make the little jars like that, we just make a small amount, and it's usually plenty for the whole class to enjoy a roll or two. So it's usually plenty. We usually actually end up taking some home or back to the office, because we usually make more than enough that we need. Sure. It usually lasts, I would probably say, just probably about 3 days or so, and then probably time to let it go. So
then when you say buttermilk, is that like buttermilk like you get at the store, like more sour part of it?
Yep. And then you can take that and pour it off and cook with it too if you want.
Yeah.
Make your buttermilk biscuits.
Make your bread something with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we talk about that and how...
Who knew all of this?
We talk about the science, liquids, solids, gases. We talk about it like that. But then we also talk about how food waste and how it's important that we use all aspects of some of the products that we're using. So when we milk cows, we let those liquids settle. So we drink the milk, but then we also use that heavy cream to make butter, which turns into butter and buttermilk, which we can use in different processes. So
now you know.
So we talk about all of that stuff too. But it was a really fun activity last time. We had a good time making butter, and we had... like garlic and chive, I think. And we had
cinnamon
brown sugar.
Love that.
It was awesome. Yep.
Well, very good. Well, you guys are just such a delight. And thank you for stopping by and bringing me chocolate. I can remember that. That's easy. And now I know that I like kind of the middle version of the chocolate the best. Yep.
Of course. So. Thank you guys for having us so much. We appreciate your help. If you guys have ever any questions, reach out to us at the extension office. Again, my email is almond.68@osu.edu.
And mine's winters.249@osu.edu. And if you don't want to email us, just come see us.
Yeah.
We're not too far away.
Yeah, stop by the extension office or give it a call, you know, do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Not hard to find.
Nope. Okay. We're the big scarlet and gray building on 93 there. You can't miss us.
Right by Carmen's. Can't miss it. All right. Well, you too. Thank you so much. We'll let you get out of here because you are very, very busy. And we do appreciate you stopping by. And thank you for doing all you do for the kids as well, because that's the whole point, at the end of the day with 4-H and all of that. So keeping our kids having something to do, learning, and making friends along the way. So
thank you.
All right. Well, we're going to get out of here for the day. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow. Thanks for watching. Bye, everybody.
Bye.